You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network, and I'm crazy excited to welcome my guest. Yesterday, around 3:45 in the afternoon, thank you to UPS because they delivered my copy of Good Food. Good Food is the newest release from Art Scroll Misora, authored by Sina Mizrahi. First of all, if you don't follow Sina on Instagram or checking out her blog called Gather a Table at gatheratable.com, you certainly should. That's first off. Second off, if you haven't bought the book yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, artscroll.com/goodfood. This is not a complicated title. It's good food for real life. Promo code radio, as you know, will give you 10% off and free shipping. So certainly go to artscroll.com/goodfood and order your copy today. Sina Mizrahi joins us. She is the author of Good Food, and she is the recipe writer and photographer of the blog Gather a Table. In this beautiful cookbook, there are over 160 recipes that feature fresh and bold flavors and satisfying meals and sweets, all inspired by her Middle Eastern roots. And I can tell you that within 90 minutes of my receiving this cookbook, I had already completed the recipe on page 22 called Jerusalem Bagel. Within 90 minutes, I had fresh, hot Jerusalem bagels out of my oven and on my counter, all thanks to Sina Mizrahi. Sina, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining me. I want to wish you, first of all, a mazel tov on this absolutely beautiful cookbook.
Wow, thank you.
And I also want to congratulate you in producing recipes that are both fresh and flavorful, and in my most important compliment, straightforward. The fact that the cookbook can arrive and within 90 minutes I have made this beautiful recipe and it came out exactly the way you said, is a great example of the rest of this cookbook as well.
Well, that's very impressive that within 19 minutes you already had something pulling out of the oven. But that's what I want people to feel connected to the recipe and feel like they want to make something right away because it jumps out of them. It was very important for me to make it clear and concise and very approachable.
Approachable is definitely the right word. And certainly there are a number of recipes that are just that. I also made the orange, I'm just pulling it up, the salmon with the Aleppo pepper. Oh, here it is, the orange miso salmon that's on page 210. I also made that. I marinated it last night, and I grilled it this morning, and I brought it in for lunch. So within 24 hours, all of these ingredients I have in my house. There's nothing...
Oh, I'm so impressed. You have Aleppo pepper in your pantry?
I do. I know. I'm nutty, right?
That's very impressive. It's not a common spice, and it's a little hard to find. So whenever people have it, I'm pretty impressed.
Well, as soon as I saw it, I grabbed it. It was one of those moments. I totally get it. But even so, the Aleppo pepper can be substituted to the red pepper flakes. And again, it speaks to just how doable and approachable your recipes are. So let's take a step back. Let's take a step back for a second. Let's talk about the title of the book. You put together this beautiful book with heartfelt and doable recipes, and you name the book Good Food. Talk to me about that.
So it was very hard to find a title for a book because as much as I cook very Middle Eastern, I also cook, you know, more mainstream cuisines. And I felt it was important to represent both sides because I wanted it to be food that shows up on my table. And I was thinking for a really long time, and I felt like I get so many messages telling me either, you know, your food looks so beautiful, or that looks so good, or you make such good food. So I felt like Good Food was a little bit a title that encompasses everything that represents, that I feel the book represents. It's food that comes from a little bit of everywhere. I write that I lived in a few places, and I feel like every little place just influenced my cooking and how I approach recipes and how I put together flavors. So I felt like it was something that is engaging. Like, everyone wants to make good food, and it represents the book.
And it's also somewhat of a guarantee, right? You're looking at the person who's, you're guaranteeing that whatever recipe somebody's going to pull out of here, it's going to be good food.
Yes, although it's a little intimidating because, you know, flavor and taste and whatever is very subjective. So what if they don't think it's good? I was a little nervous. But for the time, everyone has such good things to say. And everyone who's made and tasted the food assured me that it's good.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And I can tell you that, again, with only having experienced and putting together two of the recipes, the fact that they come out exactly the way you describe them and you articulate in the recipe is very important, especially, in my opinion, when it comes to the bagel recipe, because so many people are intimidated by yeast.
I know. I gave a few tips at the beginning. I feel like, I don't know why they're intimidated. I mean, intimidated, I guess, because sometimes it doesn't rise. But if you have fresh yeast and you follow the recipe to a T, you are almost guaranteed success because it works. It works. You know, a warm environment helps dough rise, and that's all we're looking for. And then once you bake it, you know, there's different ways to bake bread, and you get different textures. So the Jules and bagel itself has kind of like the seeds on top. It has a very, very airy inside and a little bit of a crust on the outside. And they're like fairly like ropey and thin. So it's very satisfying texture.
Oh, 100%. And the fact that it's coated on all sides is also adds to that, because every bite you're getting that flavor.
Yeah,
it's a great recipe. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nahum Segal Network. I'm joined by Sina Mizrahi, cookbook author of the new book, Good Food. She's also the blogger and the brains behind Gather a Table. You can find her at gatheratable.com. And again, I encourage everyone to go to artscroll.com/goodfood. Use promo code radio and buy your copy today. Now, I want to go through for a second your section at the beginning called Cook Good Food. You basically give somebody tips. You want to cook good food? I'm giving you the recipes to cook good food. Now I'm going to tell you how to do it. Listen to these different steps. How important were these tips to you?
So I'll tell you, when I write a recipe, I really aim for it to be concise. No one wants to read like a whole text when they're just trying to make a dish. But there's so many little tips and tidbits that, like, if you keep in mind, can improve your cooking in general, not just with making this recipe. So I felt like a little section at the beginning, you know, with a few tips to incorporate or keep in mind while you're cooking, will elevate your cooking, will make you a more confident cook, will make you be able to think of a recipe not just as, you know, exactly what's written, but you'll be able to own it and be able to adapt it and be able to, like, play around and get creative when you keep these little, you know, principles in mind. I really felt it was important to write that. I wish I had, like, more space to write more, but it wasn't a cooking textbook. But there's just certain things, you know, like, I want you to know, and while you're going through the book and while you are exploring different cooking methods and recipes, you'll understand why it's written the way it's written.
And in addition to that, what I find... Oh, because it speaks to me, what I find to be your most important tip is that salt is at the heart of flavors.
Oh, absolutely. I wrote that in the front. I told you how to salt your pasta water. I have a section in the back explaining different salts and how I use them. I think that, I mean, I know, like, my mother's generation, they just have, like, the table salt, and that's it.
Right.
That's all that's in there. But it's not. There's different types, and each one brings its own unique texture and flavor and personality. And when you incorporate different salts and in different stages of cooking and even in desserts, you will see that it takes your food to another level because salt is really the foundation of flavor.
I totally agree with you. And I laugh when you say about your mom's generation, the older generation, that there was only one table salt. How many times have you told somebody when they ask you what salt you use and you say kosher salt and they look at you and say, well, aren't all of your salts kosher?
I know, it does get confusing.
Right. But kosher salt is a specific kind of salt that is used for koshering, and that's why, it got the name kosher salt. But this so speaks to me because I'm also obsessed with salt, and it makes me crazy when people eliminate salt from a recipe. But again, that's so generational.
Right, I think so. I guess, first of all, some people have the mentality that, like, salt is unhealthy or high sodium. But I think there's, like, salts that have, like, higher mineral content, and they're actually very healthy for you. And everything is in moderation. So I think that if a person salts their food well, not over-salting, obviously, but there's no doubt about it that the flavor is absolutely, like, so different.
Oh, 100%.
I think most people, like, when they feel like their dish didn't come out well, it's usually it needs more salt. Salt brings out other flavors in a dish.
Salt and acid, so important.
Yeah.
So important. Promo code radio is what you use when you go to artscroll.com/goodfood to order Sina's book, Good Food by Sina Mizrahi. Go to artscroll.com. Use promo code radio. What was the first recipe that you said you insisted must be included in this book?
Oh, that's really hard. truth is the Libyan mafoum, which is a stew of stuffed potatoes with has meat and chicken. It's then fried in a batter, and then braised in a tomato sauce and vegetables. It's a dish that's like very emotionally attached to. It's a family heirloom because my mother is Libyan, and it's what we make, or I mean what she makes, and what my grandmother made and great grandmother. And everyone in my family, that's what they make to celebrate, to show love, to make the house feel homey. Mm. It's a huge undertaking because they make the couscous from scratch.
Right.
But I didn't include the couscous recipe because that's a little bit, more involved. But I felt like the stew was very much represents what I love about cooking, which is nurturing, the people around you through good food.
100%. And I loved the introduction to that recipe. It really spoke to me in terms of, this is my family. This is my life. I'm sharing that with you. I'm inviting you into my home.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's amazing how we could share ourselves through food also.
Oh, absolutely. So in reading your bio and your introduction at the beginning of the book and so many different anecdotes like this, I just sort of wondered, when you were growing up, did you ever have mac and cheese?
No. that's not a category of food for my mom. But my little brother, who's like much younger than me, so when he was little, like he really insisted. So like once in a while, my mother would make it for him. But like that doesn't like for my mom, that's not food. A food has to be like substantial, has to be involved, has to be braised. It has to be.
Right. It doesn't come from the heart. If it doesn't come from the heart, if it came out of a box.
Yeah. No. Not for her.
Right. No, I hear that completely. You know, there's a tremendous amount of passion that really shows in this book. And I wonder how you transitioned that passion from your blog, from Gather a Table, to putting it in print.
So I think it was like a natural extension because what I do on my blog is very much the same. It's, photography, it's writing, it's sharing recipes. But there's something that's really beautiful and substantial about holding a book and flipping through pages that, like, something digital can never compare to. And I felt it was just, like, a natural extension of what I do there. And I was able to kind of curate a series of recipes that I really feel represents, what I cook and what goes on my table. And I feel that for my children, my daughters especially, I could hand the book and they'll be, equipped to make all of these foods that they grew up with. And I felt that was important for me. And you can't have that, digitally.
Right. It makes perfect sense. And the term gather a table, is that something that you heard in your home? Because it's not an American kind of, and you're not, I mean, you are of every region on this planet, but but it is not an American term. You don't hear Americans say, come, let's gather a table. Where's that term from?
So I'll tell you, my blog actually started as the Kosher Spoon, that's how I was blogging. And then, like, I felt like I really needed, it felt very generic to me, and I felt like I needed something that represents what I feel food does. And I feel like, you know, that it gathers people around the table. I mean, logistically, that's who was available. I really wanted to gather around the table, but those were all taken. So I settled on gather a table. I felt like, you know, it like brings people to understand, like, you know, this is, it's about the food isn't, the goal isn't the food. The food is just a backdrop to gathering around the table with, you know, friends and family and whoever you want to give to.
That's beautiful. I hear it. It might not have been your first choice, but it certainly sounds like it's the right choice for you and your message.
Right? I know. It all worked out, Baruch Hashem.
Yes, it certainly all worked out. Were there recipes that didn't make the cut that you would have liked to include?
She says, I have a Word file with 60 recipes that didn't make it into the book. I kept asking for more pages and more pages, but thank God, I would have gotten very overwhelmed. Yes, I have many recipes that didn't make it into the book. But I feel like, great, I have an opportunity. I share them. A lot of them I share on my Instagram page. I've been, like, cooking a lot of the things that I wish I could have included. And hopefully one day maybe there will be another book.
You know, it's funny because the first recipe I look for these days, because I'm a little bit unnaturally obsessed with making challah, I looked for a challah recipe, which is what brought me to the Jerusalem bagels recipe, because I was checking out, I assume, between the pizza and the flatbread that there'd be a challah recipe.
I know. You're the second person who has told me that. There's a reason I didn't include the challah recipe, and I'll tell you why. I felt like if ever I write a second cookbook, it'll be most of the foods that I cook for Shabbat and Yom Tov, and I felt like challah was not better there.
Wow.
Felt like Shabbat and Yom Tov cooking is, for me, a little bit more involved, and I didn't want people to get too overwhelmed. So I kind of balanced it in this book, but who knows? Maybe one day if ever I write a second book on Shabbat and Yom Tov, then the challah will be there.
Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing that. I look forward to seeing your next book, though I'm sure at this point you want a little bit of a vacation from it. But I definitely look forward to reading that challah recipe. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. I have a few moments left with Sina Mizrahi again. She is the cookbook author of the great cookbook called Good Food. You can find it at artscroll.com/goodfood. Use promo code radio, 10% off and free shipping. I want to talk to you for a second about your falafel recipe. And I'll tell you why. First of all, because I'm totally nutty about really green falafel. And it makes me crazy when I get a brown falafel bowl.
I know.
Right? So how long did it take you to get the right balance between the cilantro and the parsley and all those colors and all those flavors? Because this, I could eat this picture, Sina. This picture, this picture looks so good. It's literally edible. How long did it take you to strike that balance before somebody?
Okay, so I've been making falafel for years and years and years. And when I lived in Israel, like, it's very important to find those good falafel places. There's a specific falafel place in the Bukhari and Shuk. And I mean the Bukhayan Quarter, which is next to the Shuk. It's called Shalom or Shlomo. I wrote it in the book. I forgot. Shlomo Falafel. And his is incredible, and it's incredible. It's fresh. It's green. And I knew that, like, this is it's the only way to make falafel. It's the only way. If I see a falafel and it doesn't have a lot of herbs in it, it's lacking in flavor, and I feel like it's lacking also in quality, because, like, why didn't you put the herbs? I know it's annoying to kosher all those herbs, but it's worth it. It's worth it. So it was really important for me to include a recipe for a falafel the way it should be made and the way you need your standards to be, because I feel like some people don't even, like, understand that.
Right. I agree. I totally agree with you. The only part I would disagree with is that I'm not putting amba on anything. I hope we can still be I hope we can still be friends.
Yes, I love you. Amba is a very acquired taste. I hear it. It's not something that's easily, because it has, like, the curry and the turmeric, and it's bold.
Right. And why are you doing that to mango? I don't understand. It's like, I just, it doesn't.
The mango mango brings a bit of sweetness and tartness because the mango is there to balance the other flavors. It's so good.
I don't know. Maybe if I make your amba, I'll feel differently.
Maybe.
I'll look forward to giving it a shout. I look forward to giving it a try. So far, I have to tell you, such good food. Really, I look forward. The salmon I made today for lunch, I did it on kebabs. I posted a picture of it. I did exactly what you told me to do, and I marinated it last night, and I grilled it this morning. The fact that everything is being delivered exactly the way you prescribe just guarantees, again, good food. And I really applaud this effort. First of all, the book itself is beautiful, and whoever worked on the layout really stuck true to the fact that the recipes are of clear and healthy and clean flavors, but also really was inspired by your blog. So they didn't deviate from your brand. This is like a real extension of you.
Right, absolutely. I was very on top of, I spent hours finding fonts. I was very involved in all the little details because I felt like it really needed to be a true representation of the book and what I do and what I love. And, I don't like to call it a brand because I don't feel like I'm a brand, but there's something, that innately I'm attracted to and a certain aesthetic that I'm very particular about. So I felt like, Devorah Cohen, which is the one I worked with to do the layout of the book and everything, she was incredibly patient and professional, and she really brought my vision to life. I'm so grateful for her.
Well, kudos to the team at Art School Masora, and kudos to you. I look forward to the Shabbos and Yom Tov book, or the Shabbat and Yom Tov.
Oh. The truth is, every time, as soon as I finished, I'm like, I am never doing this again.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
No. I'm not minimizing it. It does not for a second look like you did this overnight. That is for sure. Artscroll.com/goodfood, promo code radio. Sina, thank you so much for your time. And certainly, thank you for including us in your home, because that's really the way I feel.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it. That.
Much hatzlacha to you, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Okay, great. Thank you, Miriam.
My pleasure. You've